The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Out Your Questions, episode 592. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brett Murdoch.
Hey.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, Rich, you're back, sir. Good to have you back.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't know if you could talk about your exploits yet, but I'm assuming we will in the future, which will be good.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking about the future and our friend who's 5 hours ahead of us, we don't know where Brian is. I don't know if he said anything or not.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if he shows up, he shows
maybe
up.
He's utterly destroyed right now.
Yeah. I mean, the temperature's up. Yeah. What's up?
I think he's Brian is.
Yeah.
No, Brian is still celebrating since his team is still in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah,
England. He's the only one left.
You know, it's ironic because he absolutely gives no. He doesn't give any care about any of that stuff.
Hey, same. They're hosting it here.
I couldn't care less.
Yeah, there you go. You know how Brian is, man, and I'll do that too.
I could not care less.
Ironically enough. My sister was over here, you know, the husband and everything. He was watching the game, you know. And I just find, you know me, because I don't really care about soccer either, but I just find it funny. I'm like, literally, it was like Norway versus England. I'm like, literally 1,000 years ago, Norway was invading England, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, with the Vikings.
And Ireland.
Yep, they were invading all those motherfuckers, you know.
Yeah, and then, from raiding and dodging to footy.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then in another 40 years, it'll be 1,000 years. Since the Battle of Stamford Bridge, where the English kicked the shit out of the Vikings and kicked them out. Sorry, Harald Hardrada.
Take that.
And then, yeah, and then Harald
the French came in.
And yeah, then Harald got his ass kicked by you know, you're fucked when a guy is called William the Conqueror. Granted that he got that name afterwards, but still, you know, can you imagine that shit?
Conqueror, and you're like, nah, son.
Imagine that shit, bro. It's like you kick the Vikings' ass, you feel good, then the French kick your ass. Ain't that some shit?
Okay, like, that is England's whole history, though. Like, its entire existence has been the most winningest and the most losingest country ever.
This is true. And not to be facetious, the French were actually pretty badass before World War II. Just throwing that out there. Anyway, this is not a history lesson. This is Throwdown Video Games, and we got your questions.
That was our history down segment.
History down.
you can't contain nerdery just to one avenue.
This is very true. Nerdery will spread, you know, so we were still being on brand, you know. Anyway, not only do we have questions for this week, but I worked in all the leftover questions from previous weeks ago. So we got a full, because we didn't get a lot of questions, but now with those leftover questions, we got a full show. And it'll be good.
Whoa.
All right. Let's get into it, man. Gaming engineer, otherwise known as Alpha Chuck. And shout out to Alpha Chuck for staying late with us. Sorry you didn't win the prize. But, you know, it is what it is. All right. First question here. I agree with the panel that Sony is not going to reverse course on the all-digital future. Despite all the backlash they are getting, they will not see any significant immediate financial impact. We'll get to that in a bit, as they have already 90 million units out there in people's homes. It's not like anyone's going to throw them away, unless you're a crazy person watching TikTok videos. However, if the PS6 will truly be $1,000 or more, with $80 for all digital games and no true next-gen exclusives at launch, I have a hard time seeing a high adoption rate for the PS6. How bad would the adoption rate have to be for Sony to take drastic action to get its player base back if this happens. I don't know the exact numbers. Go ahead.
Before I jump into this, I want to share. I found out something interesting recently. I want to add to these numbers. And I think it's something like 100 and some million total units out in the wild. However, the total number of active PlayStation users has been dropping and is down to like 50 million.
Yeah. I think those numbers actually went up. It was never like higher than that, unless I'm wrong.
I'm just surprised that for like as big a thing as their online, you know, online add-on is, that they're hitting about 50% active player base from the amount of consoles sold. So I was surprised by that. So I figured I'd point it out in case anybody else was.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds about right. I'm actually surprised it's that high. I thought it'd be like 20-30% of people, you know. Go ahead, Chris, what were you going to say?
Well, they were boasting a monthly active users when I did the report last time of over 120.
Yeah, so it's over 120 million users, Brett, which is kind of interesting. I'm like, wait, if you only have 90 million. Oh, yeah, PS4 guys.
Oh, it's PS4, yeah. It's PS4 and PS5 combined, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But like the amount of people on PS, their, what is it, PS Plus, PS whatever, stopped subscribing a while ago. But like, yeah, like even 50%, I was like, damn, that's more than I expected, apparently less than you did. So,
yeah.
I didn't really have anything to add to that. I was just trying to add context. There was there's no gotcha moment here.
Yeah. No, I didn't assume it was, but it's always good to add context. But yeah, Chris, I don't know if you want to take a stab at answering this one first. Because again, I don't know what Sony's internal numbers would say. This is where we need to reverse course, you know, when it comes to how many PS6s they sell.
Yeah, I don't know, because if they can keep engagement high on PS4 and PS5, they're weathering the storm right now because our console sales for PS5 have already dropped, right? They'd have to drop a significant amount where they're not getting many new customers for them to change course. And so if you get maybe, if it's lower than 80% of the rate of PS5 when it launched, then that might trouble them. But it's hard to say, because if they're still counting PS4, they still have engaged PS4 users, and they have engaged PS5 users. And even if that doesn't change, if the number of monthly active users still shifts between, let's say they lose 10 million PS Plus people, they're still at 110 overall million.
Yeah.
That's still a high number, right? That could still sustain them. They'd have to really take a hit. Like, the console would have to sell like dirt. It'd have to be like, I don't know, Jaguar sales equivalent right now to make them consider like, all right, nobody's adopting the new system. And then pushing them forward won't help. Like, you can't just go, well, we're going to sunset PS4 now, we're going to shut off the store. That won't help them. You'd have to, the only thing to do is make exclusive content that makes people want to buy the system. But at the price that they might offer that, I don't know if that will even help. So they'll, it's a complex answer. I'm trying to hash it between, like, it's not just about hardware sales for them. They're only looking, they only care about engagement, right? And as long as PS Plus subscriptions are coming in, they're really not going to be too worried about low adoption. And they're going to try to hedge it with, like, well, we'll just, you know, do some more exclusives and then we'll weather it for a year or two and figure it out. So as long as people are still engaged in PS4 or PS5, they're not going to have the impetus to worry about PS6 unless people start dropping off PS4 and PS5. If they have PS Plus people just bailing, and I mean, you'd have to hit, I'd say like 30, 40 million people would have to bail before they would be like, oh shit, we're really screwed now, right? And then try to do something drastic. But that's a lot of people. I don't know if they, I mean, they could still keep doing stupid things to piss people off more. I mean,
what I mean by that is, like, if they come out with $1,000 PS6, I don't think that's an unrealistic amount of people to lose. But I think that's aside from the point, because I don't think that they're looking at PS6 numbers right now. I think right now they're asking themselves the equivalent of how much of this log cabin do we need to burn tonight to keep warm, which is not a long-term goal, because they can't quantify public sentiment and player loyalty.
That number would only scare people in the sane world. In clown world, where people are willing to dump $2,000 on a Legion Go, or maybe consider, you know, the highest end Steam machine, right? Like, some I I would think people would be scoffing at some of these prices or these price hikes, and they're not really. So I'm just kind of befuddled that, you know, and they can just always go, oh, market conditions, DRAM price, the usual excuses, which is not invalid, right? There's still a huge problem with DRAM prices and just, you know, so manufacturing hardware, they're not going to eat the cost of it. So manufacturing the hardware is like $900 per system. Then, yeah, they're going to mark it up a little to get a little bit off of it. They're not, they don't want to just break even. So just, if even if it's $1,000, I would think people would be like, well, that's too rich for my blood. I'm going to stick with PS5 or my PS5 Pro or whatever for a while. I don't know. Some people just, the whales will get in there. They don't care. And it just seems like some, like people just have accepted this excuse of, you know, market conditions and just go, oh, well, okay, you know, and just buy the damn thing.
I mean, yeah. I agree. I think Steam Machine has also shown that, you know, with Steam Machine, it's just kind of laughable because people are like, oh, I could build my own gaming mini PC. You know, it's not quite a small form factor, but with this kind of price, I can show it to you. Suck it, Steam. And like, that's really not showing Valve at all. You're just building your own version of their console. But like, I do feel like when we get to the threshold of, oh, look, a PlayStation and a PC are the same amount of money, which do I choose? I think that might change the discussion a little bit. I don't think it's going to dethrone Sony at all, but I think that we might find PCs to be a bit more ubiquitous in the future.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting thing, right? It's like, are you really going to be about that console life? You know, because again, one of the big talking points for console guys for years, you know, has been, you know, a console is more affordable than a PC. It costs as much as a PC. You know, are you going to be about that life still? You know? So it'll be interesting and to now, see, man.
Now GPU people, like, even the days of old nightmare drivers are over. Like, you just fucking pop up NVIDIA's whatever fucking app, and it'll automatically set all your game graphics and optimize the download drivers and all that shit. So, like, the whole, you know, plug-and-play ease is pretty much there on PC, too. I mean, fuck, Steam has an entire OS that runs better than Windows does, so they're fixing problems that aren't even theirs.
Yeah. Real Innate, what's going on, brother? We're not assuming PC prices are going down. We're assuming everything's going to keep going up. You know, that's what we're already seeing it. Yeah, we're not making this. We've said this many, many times on the show. Do not expect these prices of anything to go back down. They're going to keep them this way.
No, they're like, even if all of this shit rights itself, they're still going to keep with those high numbers.
People have shown they're willing to pay top dollar. They raise the price of consoles. What happens? They sell out instantly. They've already proven it to these companies. People will buy this expensive shit. Prices are never going to go back down.
Yeah, and like for them to think that like, you know, oh yeah, you know, that it's all going to turn back to normal. No, it's not. They're not going to give up getting more money out of you and giving you less. And that's the fucked up part of all of those.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But yeah, the prices ain't going to go back down. They already see, oh, we could get them for this much? Fuck that. You know, all right. Anything else you guys want to add to that before we're going to get to the next question, which is kind of still related on this topic?
No.
All right. So move on. Mr. Lego Bro. So you kind of asked this question last week, but you're reframing it in a different way. So we'll go for it. And we were almost about to have a discussion about this off air. So it'll be a good vehicle for us to jump into it. All right. So if Xbox, PlayStation, you know, Xbox or PlayStation plan to release consoles in the next 2 years, what kind of new game enhancements do you think we will get? The AI hardware issues with RAM could hamstring both companies from getting the best tech from the future. The reason I, you know, because last week you asked specifically, you know, will this stuff like hamstring, you know, development, you know, and we kind of came to the conclusion it's like, you're not going to get a lot of innovation. And that's still my, you know, if somebody wants to chime in with something else, fine. But my opinion is you're not going to see any innovation next gen. You're going to get, it's just going to be a spec bump, right? A little bit faster CPU, a little bit faster GPU, basically an iPhone 16 to an iPhone 17. That's what you're going to see. Like the days of like, oh shit, we went from 16 bits to 32. That shit is done, bro. That shit is done.
Yeah, I think a lot. I mean, I think we said this last time. I don't think that the the advancements in hardware are going to be there. I think I said this last time. I was like, it's going to be software shit. It's going to be a lot of software solutions that are looking to essentially make the best of whatever specs that they currently have.
Yeah. And I think we also brought this up last week, too, when we were discussing this. It's like, you know, it's probably not going to be stuff like ray tracing. That thing's kind of fizzled. It's not as, like, innovative as people thought. So it might be something else, you know, on the hardware, you know, the software side. And Brett, I think you brought up, you know, scaling and shit. That could be it.
Yep, it could be upscaling.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the weird thing. It's going to be upscaling, but by a different name, too. So, like, we're already seeing people being able to stream 240p games and upscale them, but they weirdly don't upscale in exactly what you think. They upscale into looking AI-ified. I think therein lies. Yeah, well, because it's just kind of predicting everything, and the model that's doing the prediction starts to do more and more lifting. And I think that shows a weird hybrid thing that we're going to start to see more and more of, where, you know, like, the game's telling you the skeleton, but instead of piping graphics, it's going to be rendering them, like, especially with, like, ARM architecture. That's going to be doing good things for, like, baked in lighting and things like that, but it's not going to be good at, like, fully rendering graphics. So I think you're going to see a weird dual system. So that's good and bad. It sounds terrible, but really it's just a bigger extension of, like, what Unreal is doing, where at a certain point your game is 90% Unreal and then 10% you just moving assets around. It's weird how much game development has turned into dreams. Game, I
guess. Or, Brett, everything will just be like DLSS 5, where every game looks the same because it's all AI slop looking, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're just like, hey, I'm not really going to put a lot of detail into this because the upscaling is going to put the detail into the hair anyway, like, you're going to start to see half games that are relying more and more AI upscaling, or, and at a certain point, upscaling is going to turn to generation. I'm not really thrilled about this future at all. So that's going to be a shitty, terrible new thing. But in terms of, like, just upgrading tech, it's weirdly, like, graphics cards are having kind of this issue. Like, the each series that we come out with has problems. As the kids say, mogging the previous generations. Like, the 50 series cannot just trounce the 40 series the same way the 40 series trounced the 30 series, which, you know, each time you're seeing diminishing returns. So I think it's not just video games, but not just graphics, but computation in general. Like, I think we're just kind of reaching the point of limitations of silicone. So we're getting smaller and smaller increases. And as I was saying before the show, like, we're still playing games from 10 years ago. I mean, fuck, I have people being like, yo, this game's from 2016. Why does this game fuck so much harder than anything from today? I'm like, well, because it was before we ruined gaming, but also because for the most part, we're not, like, getting huge increases. Like, now, honestly, I can play a game from 2016 on modern hardware and it just feels like I'm playing it on a higher setting. It doesn't feel like a brand new game.
True.
Even compared to brand new games. So,
yeah,
you know, we haven't really been advancing anyway, and that's not great for a company whose main, like, you know, either console company. I mean, it's great for Steam. It's not great for trying to sell us on the next generation of new hardware.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. This is why you see videos of, like, people, you know, comparing new brand new games from 2026 to, like, Mass Effect from 2013, going, why does the 2013 game look better? We have not advanced that much already. So think, you know, to the question here, it's like, we've already seen minimal advancements generation over generation. You're going to get even less next generation, bro. You know, which begs the question, are you willing to spend over $1,000 for something that gives you marginally better graphics? Something you have to ask.
And that's yourself. Why we're not going to get an advancement.
Yeah, we're not. We're not. We're going to get a spec bump and that's it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look. We spent the last generation for the first, 2 years just getting, like, cross-platform games. Like, we barely still have generational exclusives. Do you think they're really going to force generational exclusives in the year of the $900 plus console?
Fuck no.
You're going to be playing your PlayStation 5 for another 12 years, homie.
Yep. Pretty much. But yeah, what about the rest of you guys? You think we're going to see any advancements next generation?
Yeah. I feel like Mark Cerny is going to start the press conference with, like, and we have a new neural chip dedicated for 8-high.
And that's it.
He's like, we have something called a neural net processor. It's a learning computer.
Oh, man. We've developed.
But other than that,
the more contact it has with humans, the more it learns.
Yeah, or it's like we have new technology that conforms to your specific eyes to help you see better, and we'll come over to your house, map your eyes, and send you a pair of glasses. Remember that shit with the ear molding and shit? Like, whatever came of that. Like, that you was guys so know, weird. Well, go ahead, bro.
None of these are fictional, except these all exist in real life because we live in a dystopian society.
I know. But I was just making fun of the whole ear mapping thing they were talking about with PS5, you know?
Oh, yeah, but Meta's doing eye tracking, like, just straight up.
Yeah. What's going on, Reggie? Reggie, you can't give an answer like that, bro. You can't say we're going to see advancements. We just don't know what they are. That's too vague, bro. You know?
Could I ask what advancements we saw this generation by those standards?
Ooh, yeah, exactly. We didn't see shit. Ooh, ray tracing. PC already had that. You know,
I'm genuinely curious what the definition of an advantage is. Like, if you're like, so there'll be stuff we don't know what it is. Like, well, do you call like what they did this generation? Like, how loose is the term advancement that we're using here?
Yeah, it's a good
also,
one. Reggie.
Also, like the advancement was a software advancement, which was their high speed SSD algorithm.
Yeah, that's the only thing. That's the main tangible. It's like, whoa, these games load fast. You notice that fast. Shit. Yeah.
But that's it. They were like, okay, yeah, we can load Spider-Man, like all the environments in Spider-Man, even faster than we could before. But yet, no, we still see popping. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Look how fast Spider-Man moves. Yeah.
The UI successfully got worse.
Oh, yes, the UI successfully got worse.
Yeah. That's why Adam left, you know?
I don't know why they wanted that, but thumbs up, mission success. Like, I still fucking hate how I turned the PS5 on. I was convinced they're like, they're going to patch this, right? Like, they're not going to make it feel this awkward and clunky to turn off my PS5 every single time, are they?
Man, remember when fucking Twitter and even YouTubers came at my ass? Because I'm like, why is this shit so difficult to turn off? This guy's fucking stupid. What a fucking idiot, you know? It's fucking
because it was
a mess.
Such a downgrade for the previous generation. Just press and hold the fucking button.
That's it. Well, this guy's stupid. You know, fucking idiot.
I still instinctively try and do it every time I turn my PS5 off, and I'm like, wait, I forgot I can't do this shit.
Yeah, and yeah, it's just like, you know why? It's like, oh, you've had this PlayStation for a year. What did you learn? Because I don't use it enough. Because there's no fucking games to play on it. That first year was dry as fucking Saharan pussy, bro. Like, there was nothing on that PlayStation. I'm gonna build up muscle memory for a fucking console I barely use. Fuck out of here, you know. But the ponies, you know, they had to go protect their console, you know. Fucking idiots.
But see, this is why it's not a threat when you talk about PC gaming. It's not a threat. It's an inevitability, because that's right around the time when, like, you're like, why am I going to play on my PlayStation? My PC is so much better. It's right here. I don't have to pay to be online. It's the weird thing is, like, it doesn't end with like a threat and like a shaking your fist. You're just like, I'm just going to go play over here. And that's how a small exodus happens. Like, the people that I know that have given up gaming on Sony or Microsoft haven't done it by throwing their hands up and, you know, being like, I fucking quit, I'm done here, and fuck you, and storming out. They've done it by just being like, oh, you know what? I haven't picked up my PlayStation or my Xbox in like a year because I've been on my PC.
Yeah. All right. Move on here. Oh, what's up, man? You want to say something?
No, I mean, you just walk out the door. That's all. You know, if they're not doing what you want, then you just go somewhere else.
That's it. All right. Next question for Mr. Lego Bro. Should Xbox change Game Pass to no more first or third party new releases for 6 months? Because I heard there was a report that they spent $80 million over 10 years. I think it would be a good way for them to lower the price of their service, because even at $23, it's still not biting.
What price do you want?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What would be a preferable price?
Because I'm not saying Netflix and everything else keeps trending fucking up. I'm shocked it went down once. Like, just out of curiosity, what is the magic number for you? Like, 23 sounds high. I'd be happy with 20. Maybe that's just a nice round number, but I don't expect fucking 15 and then free games. And to answer your question, should they? Like, it depends on who you're asking. If you're asking me as the customer, should they? No, because the whole point of fucking Game Pass is that I'm not walking into Temu Blockbuster playing old games all the time, right? Like, you either have a really extensive backlog or new games or some of each. If you're asking as a Microsoft financial advisor, don't worry about it. It's not your problem.
Yeah.
Don't ask how corporate decisions are made.
Don't ask what you could do for blank.
Yeah, you know, should they pull all the first party day one things? Oh, hell yeah, they should, because that was initially cutting into the amount of money that they were making. Because everybody was just saying, all right, you know, I'm going to go with the best deal in gaming, essentially paying this blanket amount and then just having the games on it. Like, think about it as, like, that's the one thing about the difference between PlayStation and Xbox is the fact that, yes, you are playing for PlayStation Plus, but you barely get any day one games for the pure reason they still want you to go buy a game.
Yeah,
that's where you make money. And it's obvious that Game Pass was not creating, not generating enough money in order to justify its existence. It would be a different story. And I've said this before. It'd be a different story if adoption of Game Pass was 100%, or like at least a lot more than what it currently is, where everybody was paying into it, and the money that it generated also generated was able to fund, you know, its existence. But I don't think it was. And that's where it sort of fell apart. How do we get there with something like this? I don't know. I think the thing about it is it's like they've even said it themselves. We've even said it, you know, before they even publicly admitted it. Their Game Pass was cutting into their own sales. Yeah. So how do you make that thing? Like, how do you make that thing like worth people wanting to invest in? I don't know.
I want to add on to that. As well, another thing, I don't know, like, we really need to have the discussion of are we buying games, are we renting games? Because right now it seems like we're having a discussion about buying, like we're still having the option to own content, and that's quickly going by the wayside. So like, if you're talking like, hey, I can own this versus have it on Game Pass, that's one thing. But if you're like, hey, it's now a conversation between renting or leasing, just a longer term rental with, you know, no clear restrictions, they just pull it out of your library one day. Honestly, I'm leaning more towards, like, if you want me to do the whole Game Pass future, telling me I'm just not going to own anything anyway kind of makes me lean more that way. What's the point of paying $80 for something that's going to randomly be pulled from my library when I just pay $23 and know it's going to be there for 2 months
and then it'll be gone?
Gone. It's not necessarily worse than unpredictably gone over a longer term for more money.
Pay the long-term rental or pay the short-term rental.
That seems to be the fucking options, and I hate it. You want to rent it or you want to lease it? I want to own it.
I hate everything about modern gaming.
I agree. So,
man.
I hate this discussion. I hate... God damn it.
All right. Anybody else jump in on Game Pass? I don't give a fuck. I don't care about game. All right. Guess nobody else does either, so move on.
I would say this.
Yeah.
If only it were an optional opt-in thing instead of being forced on companies.
Yeah, right? That's crazy. All right. Kishak in the house. All right. Do you guys think that I'll read this a little slower. Do you guys think that when comparing video game audiences to consumers of other media, like movies, television, comic books, music, whatever, that gamers are the least effective at sustaining protests and boycotts? Okay. He's basically saying, are gamers less effective at their boycotts than people of other media? I don't have any data on this, but I feel like gamers are the most effective when it comes to their protests.
Why I'm confused. I was like,
let's bring it back a little bit, right? Years ago on PC, they proposed charging you every month for online. PC gamers said, fuck that. And it didn't happen, right? Then we move forward a little bit, right? Mass Effect 3, that ending came out. People were fucking pissed. Changed the ending. They changed the ending. You know, there's been so many other examples. We'll probably bring it up during this course discussion where gamers have effectively fought back and won. Here's the thing. Other people, I could be wrong, don't seem to fight back as fervently as fucking gamers do, you know?
Gamers are the worst bullies on the internet. We've already knocked the PlayStation back from being the equivalent of $1,000 once. They tried to raise that shit up to $600, and that would be $1,000 by today's standards. Like, this will be the second time they try and push the PlayStation to be this expensive. The first time we held it back. I'm interested to see if the Youngbloods do the same, because I don't think so. But we did.
We're like, Sony, you released a $600 console? Fuck you, we ain't buying. And look what happened. Yeah,
you don't want to buy the
Kinect? We're not going to go back on the Kinect. The Kinect is an integral part of the Xbox. What happened the following year? Got rid of that shit, you know? So, yeah, Kishak, I don't understand why you think you're... actually, I know where it's coming from, because he thinks all this belly aching about the PlayStation 6 no disc is not going to mean anything.
Gamers remember Helldivers 2?
Yeah, gamers have shown, bro. You know, yeah. So yeah. I think. And yeah, go ahead.
It's not going to. Go ahead, Manny. You've been trying.
I was also going to say in 2021 on this on a part of this news, the gamers pushed back on the PS3 and the Vita store getting pulled down, and they reversed that too. So wasn't even that long ago that happened.
Yeah. There's probably other examples, but you know, there's been a lot of cases where gamers fought back and successfully won, you know?
Well, remember the PSN, when you were supposed to sign into PSN for Helldivers 2?
Yeah.
On PC?
Mm.
That shit got reversed.
That shit got reversed real quick. That shit
got reversed too.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, PC gamers are by far like the last bastion of gamers, but even console gamers, pretty good. But yeah, like... It's funny how like things like Helldivers really get pushed over the limit when you're like, no, as a PC player, you have to sign into PlayStation. What's that? Our game is failing. Why? So I don't know. I agree with Tony. It's
Brett, I'm sorry. Another example. Remember Fortnite? We want this game to be cross-gen. PlayStation for a while said, fuck that. You're not getting cross-gen. A few months later, they reversed that fucking decision because gamers were pissed. Yeah, Brett, there's just so many examples, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just look at why do you think Microsoft, like, for those of you who don't remember the before four times, let this graybeard tell you, Microsoft is in the shitty position they are because of the mortal wound dealt to them by gamers upon their last folly.
Yes.
We got,
like, Microsoft, one of the biggest companies in the world, fucking took a knee for what, now 20 years and haven't been able to get back up? And there's a lot of metrics that they can judge, but the one thing that the industry has never been able to understand is good graces. They will constantly burn that bridge to keep themselves warm, constantly. And then they'll act all surprised when they're like, oh, the next time we release that, like, we'll release something that is a pile of shit, you know, trading in all of this goodwill that we've built up and delivering a shit product. And it'll sell well. And we'll be like, yeah, we did a good job. And then we'll release another one. And we'll be all surprised Pikachu face when nobody fucking buys it. Because the last time we delivered a steaming pile of shit. They cannot understand that they constantly face the consequences of the last action that they take, not the current one they're taking. And I don't know why. Like, I've sat and watched this for like 30 years in the industry, constantly happening over and over again. But it's one thing that they don't understand is honestly only getting worse the more these things get publicly traded, which is why I say, like, they're not even worrying about the PS6 right now. They're just keeping the lights on and trading in their stock. So it's not really what's going to be a good idea long term. It's what's going to be a good idea now. So looking for sense here is kind of pointless anyway.
Yeah. What's up, Carlos?
We got an apology for CD Projekt Red's disastrous Cyberpunk release. Hmm. We never got an apology for Morbius.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great point.
Think about gamers coalesce so much they even get Hollywood to change. We could have gotten Sonic. Nightmare Sonic the Hedgehog, yeah. But and think about it with Bay Turtles movie. People enjoy film complain like they don't look like the Ninja Turtles. He went, "Fuck you! Here's your Ninja Turtles. Here's my Ninja Turtles. You take it, right?"
Yeah.
With Sonic, people are like, "Look at them teeth! Fuck this nightmare shit. We're not watching this." They changed it.
Oh, his eyes are separate. No.
I mean, even beyond that, then you have people like Jim Carrey being like, no, Dr. Robotnik needs a giant, ridiculous mustache. And Henry Cavill just genuinely being Henry Cavill. And you have gaming infecting the mainstream spheres. Like, not only does gaming not get contaminated by Hollywood, it cross-contaminates Hollywood backwards. It's It's like every time they tried to send in somebody to conquer the Irish, they just went native. More history for you.
So, again, I don't understand. Kishak, when you listen to this, at me in the Discord and let me know what you're referring to, because again, I think we've proven that gamers are the most effective when it comes to their boycotts and protests compared to other people. Craig Gate, that's right. I'm telling you, man.
Craig Gate, it seems like in general, a lot of these things is the checks and balances that happen from the gaming community say, what the fuck is this shit you showing?
It's crazy.
Well, gamers also seem to be willing to make their discontent known. I think it's just because they're like, look, I was already planning on sitting down and fighting something for 3 hours. The game is awful, so apparently the thing I'm fighting is a forum.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, I got to fight something. I'll fight this, BlizzCon, remember that shit?
Not the game, it's the fucking developers.
Yeah.
BlizzCon, where it's like with the one guy.
Diablo.
Like,
you got a phone?
Yeah, gamers. Yeah, that's man, I'm telling you. Shout out to gamers.
But again, it also shows the absolute hubris of the people that think that they could just, people would just keep eating up whatever the fuck these guys keep puking out.
Because they think we're pay pigs,
Exactly. They think that just because it says the thing that you like on it, it says it's a familiar name, that we'll just fucking accept it. No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some people are like that, but not a lot of us. There are some people that go, it's the thing I like. I like the thing. I will buy the thing. Yeah, there's some people like that. But, gamers are a different breed,
Yeah. Again, it's like, obviously, there's obviously people that just accept and consume. But then there's also people that, a lot of people, especially in gaming, they just say, no, what the fuck is this shit? You just changed the whole, you just Dragon Age this whole series out of me not liking this thing.
If gamers cared about Game of Thrones, he'd finish that last book.
That's right.
He gets owned anytime he gets ratioed anytime he tweets about anything now. Like anything he says, so where's the Winds of Winter, huh?
Yeah, well, that's what PlayStation's facing now, Everything is community noted now.
Everything is community noted, man. Like, even stuff that's like, hey, we got this new game that's coming from this. Totally benign. Nope, it gets hit too. Anytime.
Gamers, man, it'll fuck around, bro.
They'll come to your house.
Yeah.
They've been posting.
Come to where you're like stock prices? I'm going to make the company seem unstable. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Anytime they say anything, it just gets hit.
It's crazy, man. All right, man, let's move on. Oh, go ahead, bro.
Just real quick, gamers do eat a lot of shit, so I feel like that's part of the chip on the shoulder that, that a lot of them have. So sometimes, some of the stuff like the DRM stuff that had backlash originally, when the Xbox One came out, that got reversed, but eventually, they still transitioned to it.
They waited long enough for people to not fucking remember or pay attention. Yeah, even sneakier.
That's right. Yeah, but they did. All that stuff did get initially reversed for a while. Because the gamers.
I also want to add a thing that may lead to the optics on part of this is you have a lot of people verbally complaining, which can make the problem seem big and like people are just constantly getting defeated. When in actuality, it's just that we bitch several times more than the common audience, myself definitely not excluded. So, it's a lot of times you hear more complaining, but it's not because gamers are getting more fucked. It's because they're constantly pushing back. They kind of draw a line in the sand and are less eroded by predatory practices than a lot of other things. We have all been around long enough to see music and movies and all kinds of other shit basically be taken away from us. And I think games are the last bastion for a lot of people. So there's a lot of complaining, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's because there's a lot more losing. The complaining is the thing stopping the losing in a lot of cases, or at least holding it off temporarily.
Yeah. All right, man. Move on here. Mr. Jolly Yellow Nerd. And Chris, I want you to start off this one. How much longer will Nintendo manufacture Switch 1 hardware? We already had one holiday season with Switch 1 and 2 coexisting. Do you think Nintendo will go for a second?
Didn't they just announce that they're discontinuing it?
They're discontinuing support, which means they're going to probably... Yeah, in Europe only. But eventually, like we talk about manufacturing the hardware.
Yeah.
Let's see. If they really want to push people Switch 2 and they are upping the price in September here, they could cut manufacturing as soon as the end of this calendar year. Mm. They could do like they did with the Wii U and just the end of the calendar year is it and just cut manufacturing. And then whatever's in stock in stores. But they're kind of sneaky too because they will pull back stock from places. So I think, yeah, if you want a Switch, I would say, and you don't have one or whatever, maybe you want one, I would try, say, before the end of the calendar year, try get a new or used one before it disappears. Because they tend to make that shit disappear. Look at the 3DS. You can't even, unless you go to somewhere like a collectible store or whatever. I remember the 3DS, when they phased it out, it just disappeared. And Nintendo will pull back stock and they'll put it away. And they kind of force people onto the next thing. I don't like that tactic. I think you should just let whatever's in the wild sell out. But it's weird because they hate the used market. They hate not getting residual income from old system sales or anything like that. But they won't do anything like cut end physical games. It's just weird that Sony did the thing that they won't even do. They get more flack for it. So I would say they probably go this calendar year. I'll see. I think, yeah, if they're cutting support in Europe, they'll probably start phasing out support in America probably towards the end of next year for the eShop and Nintendo's whatever they call it, Switch Online and Expansion Pass and all that shit, and try to push people to Switch 2. They don't have to really manufacture systems, especially if they really are having hardware problems like purchasing RAM and stuff. Why would you split that extra cost between manufacturing an old system and your current system? You're just going to cut the old system. So I would say the end of the calendar year is a good bet.
I'll be interested.
So I haven't been too up to date on the whole Nintendo thing, but from what I understood is that the Europe stuff, they're discontinuing the old Switch 1 because of the regulations for the batteries.
Yeah.
Like the Europe is making it so you can use replaceable batteries instead of, you know, those soldered in ones. So I think that's what they're doing, but I don't know if Nintendo is going to, you know, make Switches that have replaceable batteries or just not going to do them all together. That's the part that I don't know.
That's a good question because, yeah, they would be discontinuing the old model of the Switch, but then start manufacturing that new one with the battery you could remove. We don't know. That's a good question.
Would that hit Apple pretty bad, though?
Yeah, it did hit Apple too. Yeah. And Apple caved.
Which is good because...
Yeah, you know, go ahead.
You know, your phones can last a lot longer if you were just able to replace the battery easily.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. All right. Move on there. Eurocar 9 with a couple of questions for us people. What is one studio that you hope would spin off from Sony? For no reason whatsoever, we'll start with Carlos first.
Well, I'll say Bungie.
Oh, shoot.
I mean, let me just be real. Bungie is not in a good place with Sony or without Sony. Oh, I feel like they're kind of, you know, not in a good place anyways, but if they spun off and maybe, you know, maybe they can work with Microsoft and develop the new Halo game. Maybe, you know, I know it's wishful thinking, but I feel like that'd be better than whatever the hell 343 is doing or the Halo Studios or whatever they're called now. So my answer for that would be Bungie.
See, here's the thing. None of the current studios really impress me. I don't really, you know, supporting Santa Monica, Naughty Dog, I kind of don't care about them as much as I used to. My answer would have been Blue Point, but we saw what happened. You know?
Yeah.
They should have been spun off, but that didn't happen. But yeah, what other studios do they have? Bend? Are they still around? I don't, again, I, I House Mark. Is that even a place in studio? I don't know. I don't really care.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, you know, I haven't really been that impressed by anything a main Sony studio has put out this generation. Don't get me wrong. I like Ragnarok. That was cool. But, you know,
it's a PS4 game.
Yeah, it's a PS4 game, you know? I don't know. I think my real answer is I don't care. I don't know if, you know, Eurocar will accept that as an answer, you know, but it's like, I don't give a shit, you know? What about you, Rich? What's a Sony studio you think should be spun off? Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. Oh, he may not be around. Oh, there he is.
Oh, no. Come back to me. I got to think about this a little bit further.
All right. I'll leave the mic open. Anybody jump in then?
Insomniac. They need to get away from him.
The Marvel studio now?
The Marvel studio. They need to get away from him because they make good games and good titles, but, you know, more and more PlayStation is looking like a toxic place to be.
Excuse me?
Yeah. They need to get out of there.
Yeah, what's up?
Because
what's
your answer? if any of the things that are a sign, you know, of their thing, where in other words, they'll just close off a studio because even if they're doing something right, you know, you have a place like Bend Studio, which is sort of weird, like a weird support studio now. What if on the day, let's say, you know, it probably will never happen, but Wolverine does utterly shit, right? Right. It will never happen. If that game does utter shit, what are they going to do? You know, Sony's just going to fucking close them.
Yeah.
At least new Sony, a new PlayStation will close them because they just don't seem to like, oh, yeah, you did some shit while you're gone.
Yeah. Brett, what's your answer?
It depends on how I'm answering the question. If it's from, you know, Sony's point of view, who should they get rid of? Nobody. They don't have the exclusives to spare. Like, should Sony make less than 2 exclusives a generation? No. If we're talking from the developers or the studios, all of them should get away from Sony. It is a volatile, toxic place to work. So probably just better that you don't make Faustian deals and just hope and pray for the best, because Lord knows that's not working across the rest of the gaming industry. So there you go.
Yeah. All right, Rich, are you ready now?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, that was an excellent answer by Brett. And also, you know, y'all had excellent answers. My response, a studio that should get away from Sony. I would love to see Team Asorbo go out and do their own thing.
Oh, Sobe. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a spicy one.
Yeah, Astrobot is fantastic. That's probably one of the only things that people are really genuinely excited about with PlayStation now. So I would like to see them be able to do more things without being under Sony to see how that goes.
That's right. We need Astrobot on Xbox.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
my daughter loves that game. She loves Playroom, and she plays Astro. She constantly is like, oh, can I play a robot game? That's what she calls it.
My youngest niece is the same way, Chris. Always wanting to play the Astrobot. You know,
that's a good answer. Also, like Insomniac and Sucker Punch. I don't know. Like, I honestly think a lot of these studios are in name only at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think a lot of the talent that made the games that made them famous or household names are even still there. Right. If you spun off Insomniac.
I don't even know, yeah, man.
Right, you know? It's like, am I going to get a Ratchet Clank?
We need a website that fucking does this shit.
Yeah, that would be good.
Just recompiles, like, who's from where. So you'd be like, oh, yeah, the team making this video game is made up of these people from these games.
And you could have, like, a list of the old names and then the new names, and then, like, the old names are no longer, they're just grayed out, you know? Like, wait, who are all these new guys?
Or if you have a bunch of legacy developers like get together and make a new studio, you can be like, oh, here's a, like, honestly, if we could do it, you know, negatively for Sweet Baby, I feel like we could do it positively for, you know, other stuff. Like, because finding out, like, hey, not only did Obsidian catch, you know, supposedly a new Fallout title, but all of their senior leadership is there. I was like, oh, man, that's great to know. And I wish finding things like that were easier to find instead of it being buried. Or from, you know, one guy who took the trash out in God of War saying that, you know, the new janitor brought to you from the maker of God of War. No, you were around, sure. You're not credited in the credits as a writer, so fuck yourself. Like, that's, there's too many people who are like in the proximity of greatness. They're like, it was because of me. No.
Yeah, I hear it. It's like, no, well, Susan from accounting. You don't need to be in the fucking credits, you know?
Well, I mean, that could be said about, you know, about the Last of Us games. I mean, Last of Us wasn't only created by one person. There's also Bruce Straley, who's the director of that game. So you got to pay attention to who the people are, who aren't there anymore.
Wait, are you implying that it wasn't all Neil?
It wasn't all Neil.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh man.
In fact, as soon as that dude left, they removed him from every single bit of like Last of Us creation. Like,
oh, that's right. They took his name out of the credits and everything.
They took his name out of the credits.
Like that fucking
and everything,
picture
yeah.
with Stalin. They got rid of that dude next to him and shit.
Yeah. Bruce, they yeah. say that it says, you know, in the late, even in the remake, it says Last of Us created by Neil Druckmann. But no, Last of Us was created by him and Bruce Straley.
Yeah,
they Back to the Future him.
Yeah, yeah, right. Wasn't there another name there before? No.
By the way, Bruce Straley is making the old woman with the chicken legs game that's coming out.
Oh fuck yeah! See, and this is like, I wish that we did like. I guess I'm like advocating for us not being here and having a job, but you know, like we shouldn't have to get that information from us. That should be kind of more well known. Somebody make that website. You'll probably make some money. I don't know.
Yeah, like in other words, like the what is it? Does it like the website that's that totally specializes in what games are fully playable on disc? It's called like Does It Play?
Yeah,
they're like know your creators and you know find out where they are and what they are doing. Your favorite creators.
You get AI to fucking scrape LinkedIn, find out where all these people are now. It should be actually pretty like feasible.
Yeah,
I just don't want to do it. Somebody do it.
All right, man, let's move on here. Another one from Mr. Eurocar 9. And Chris, this one's for you. What are your thoughts on, I like this, Basa Sharma's new role at the Fed? Yes, people, in case you didn't know, Asha Sharma is now like an advisor for the Federal Reserve. Fucking it.
I say clown world, and then I don't even think that's like a strong enough term for just the moves that are happening, or how the hell this lady has stepped up from like a CEO at Instacart to running AI Azure to just head of Xbox, and then
head of Microsoft. I'll put it out there.
Yeah, and then just like, oh, well, she's on the board of the federal. Wait, what? How did that? What is happening? Yeah. I'm like, okay, the only moves this C's made so far in this current year is like
fire mass people.
Yeah. And then you put her in charge of like what, job creation or job, what was it? Prosperity in the United States? And I'm like, oh my God. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, they should. I mean, since this is clown world, they should just get the ICP to do it.
Dad, yes, the clown posse. Me as well.
I feel like we're watching the results of somebody who either has a volcano layer or a time machine. Like this just feels like a weird meteoric rise. We're like, yep, that's how the dictatorship started.
I mean, at that point, why don't you just put Jim Ryan on the Federal Reserve?
Yeah, right.
But by the way,
what's up, bro?
I don't know how
productivity
I feel about
and
her.
Jobs.
Yeah, that's nice. You want her who fires people. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I, and by the way, announcing too that just these layoffs are not the end of the layoffs. They're going to go throughout
just
fiscal
the first
year,
half, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's half. And it could be more. Like she's saying it's half, maybe not to couch it that it's not so bad. It could be way more. So, and then the Federal Reserve looked at that and like, we want her.
That's her. Get her. Get that woman. That's
I mean, there were 14 layers of management. Like at a certain point, I'm not really sure. Like correcting the ship is going to feel like a breakneck maneuver, I guess, at a certain point. And I don't know. Maybe it's just 14 layers of management to me is so fucking lost in the weeds that, yeah, you got to fucking execute half the squad before you even get back out of there. The bloat has become a man. You need to amputate that leg. I'd be really interested. I don't mean this in a come kind of way. Somebody actually like pitch me an idea, like how can you recover Microsoft without cutting the bloat, without with dealing with 14 layers of management who can't actually produce anything?
Well, I'm not. This is not about Microsoft right now, right? Like, so if you're running the Federal Reserve, the big bank of the United States, and you're like, we need somebody who looks like they know what they're doing in terms of stimulating jobs in the economy. This move is like hiring Freddy Krueger to be a kindergarten teacher. That doesn't make any sense, right? All she's done so far is cut heads and is cutting, right? So maybe that's, and I don't disagree with you, Brett. Like, yes, the layers of management she discussed and all that stuff.
That's way not enough for the debate here. We're not debating that. It's just like, wait, you're the head of Xbox for like 4 months, and now you're appointed to the Federal Reserve, huh? What? Yeah,
so that
I'm gonna guess. I mean, she's not there for her amazing ideas. She's there for her ability to say it, to do effective cost cutting. Like, she's basically the Bobs from Office Space. And I think any company that is like, they're like, yeah, we need to trim our budget, is going to be looking at people like that. So it's because we fucking live in clown world, and we're not hiring people for economic growth based on economic growth. We're hiring people on for economic growth based on their ability to downsize the department of economic growth. I feel like we're in a Douglas Adams novel just by saying that.
Yeah, but right. I'm pretty
sure that's how we got here.
Clown world.
But it's the fact that her resume at Xbox hasn't even dried yet on writing her resume. Like, and she's already got this gig as well. So. Yeah.
I mean, Elon Musk got put in a bunch of positions of power because he could supposedly fire people and still have everything work.
But he was well known. Like, people just barely figured out who she was like 4 months ago.
Yeah, I feel like right now, like, there's big industries are just kind of blindly reaching for people who are like, I can trim the fat without bleeding you out. Like, and I think that's more indicative of the overall situation that many industries are in, right? Like, we're at a point where we have, like, companies that are just basically fat, diabetic, Wall-E dystopias, being like, okay, I need you to bleed me enough to get rid of the gout, but not enough to kill me. So we're looking for the person who can bleed you the best. So we're looking for the doctor who can cut you the best at this point, even though that makes no fucking sense.
Well, it also doesn't make any sense because we haven't seen the repercussions of those maneuvers, right? So you bleed everything out. Did the patient survive? Well, I don't know, but we're going to hire her as the Surgeon General.
I mean, Chris, you're thinking the old timeline. We can't wait for results because that takes time. We know it's going to work. You have to move fast and break everything. I'm pretty sure that's right.
It's crazy. They're
good at influencing.
The only way to fix this ship is by sinking it first and then raising it up from the ocean again.
Yeah. Like, we need to disrupt the industry. Like, what are you going to replace it with? I don't know yet, but we're gonna disrupt it and then profit.
I feel like this is the same conversations we have about where the CEOs of AI companies think AI is going and they can't even answer it.
Yeah.
Like, what is the goal here? Is it super intelligence? I don't know. But China's doing it, so we got to do it faster. Well, doing what? What's the goal? Right? There's no answer.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
like, clown can world. Can we
optimize
bro?
This technology for what? Yeah, I mean, yes, probably, just, but you gotta
just
like
just do it fast. Just do it fast, China. China.
What do you need AI in a microwave for?
It's amazing. Oh God, I almost got a headache just thinking about that. Anyway, let's move on before I really get too headache. So have an AI in your fridge. Why?
So it can learn profits. Why? So it can sell that data. Okay?
Just say that then. Be upfront about what you're doing, you fucking asshole. All right.
I really don't even care, like, if you train on my data for the most part. If you're upfront about it, it's when you get all fucking weird and secretive about it, it makes it fucking seem creepy. If you're like, hey, we're going to judge, you know, how you shopped to optimize how people shop. That kind of makes a sort of sense to me. And, like, I don't have the weird knee-jerk, like, response that a lot of people do. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that feels kind of reasonable. Like, I save some money, you save some time.
I think that the problem...
Oh.
Why did you fucking ask? What? Yeah. Instead of wasting all this money trying to figure me out, just ask me what the fuck I want.
Right? That's you don't need point. To be subversive. Like I always tell people, I don't miss the days where I was getting ads for tampons. Right? Like, for those of you who don't remember old Graybeard rantings here, like, you should get random fucking commercials. I saw so many vials of strange blue liquid poured onto tampons and shit throughout my life. I had no reason to see. Right? I was like, I would not bitch if you just showed me ads for, like, video games and anime and shit like that. Like, that's fine. Yeah, target me. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah,
exactly. But just ask me what I want to see. Just like, okay, I don't give a shit about most of the shit. But you show me a movie, you know, some sort of horror movie, or you some sort of fucking whatever, like sci-fi shit. I don't know, some books I might be interested in. I don't know. Just fucking ask. That's all you need to do. But they're like, nah, we got to spend all this money to try to figure you out.
Yeah, but let's not go down that rabbit hole.
I'll just suggest to her, you don't need to videotape my house.
It's crazy. All right.
Exactly.
Move on here. And I believe the last questions we're taking here are all leftover questions. So shout out to you guys for being patient with us. Matt Wheaton, this is an interesting question. Since Ace Combat 8 is coming our way, are any of you guys Ace Combat fans or fans of aviation games? If so, what would be your favorite air combat games and fighter jets in those games?
I really don't care about flying games.
I've never played Ace Combat. Does fucking Afterburner count?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't care about those games, but the thing about it, I do appreciate it to do exist, and they have a fan base to it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, in this world where everybody is making, you know, making a narrative driven, you know, blah, 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 you know, count how roguelike or whatever, right? At least there's like, okay, hey, listen, we make plane game. We make the plane game, theoretically.
Yeah.
I like how you said plane game, like singular. Like, we make plane game, you know, plane game.
they make the plane game.
And you're like, oh, the simulation one. No, the other one. You're like, oh, okay, I know the one you
see. The other one that will attract more people because you get to shoot other planes out of the sky.
Yeah, is it the peaceful plane game or the shooty plane game? Oh, the shooty plane game. Yes, we're all aware of this game.
Yeah, Whit Pitt says Top Gun for NES.
Yeah, Top Gun for NES, where you constantly crash your plane onto the deck of the carrier.
Oh my God, you just unlocked a memory.
Yeah. Does pilot wings count?
No, you don't.
It is a plane game.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't shoot anything.
Yeah, it's got to be a combat game.
Well, you do shoot that bubble dude. You remember you blow up his little bubble, his little balloons? Isn't that what you do in that game? Ah, whatever.
Yeah.
So I played Ace Combat 7.
Okay.
Right? I think the person best suited to answer this is not here is Brian.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, Brian's an Ace Combat guy.
Ace Combat is fun. I don't understand the story at all. I don't know if that story is meant to be comprehended, to be honest with you. The politics in that game is so fucking bananas. All I did mid-game was just skip everything. I'm like, just tell me who I got to shoot. Okay, where are the targets? Okay. Now, you get this whole filler with like, oh, the nation of blah, blah, blah is doing this. I'm like, oh, whatever, man. Oh, I got to shoot that giant thing out of the sky? Thank you. Give me my plane. And that's it. So maybe Ace Combat will like look a little nicer and have a few more fighters. I don't know. I bought the Top Gun pack and I got the F-14 from Top Gun Maverick and I was happy because it reminded me, like Tony said, it reminded me of Afterburner.
Afterburner, there you go.
I'll be honest here. I didn't know there was a story in like a campaign story.
Brett, it's more incomprehensible than Souls, because Souls at least you can put together the narrative from things. Like in Ace Combat, you have to sit there and really like, what's this bitch talking about? What country are we fighting for again? I don't even know.
Dude, I thought it was like improv setups. Like you're a pilot in 1917. Like
I didn't realize it was a cookie story. You have all sorts of generations of fighters. You could fly a MiG from like the 60s, and then you could fly like the latest SU fighter, fifth generation fighter from Russia is, or what. You could fly all sorts of planes. It doesn't even make sense.
The mortal being, Dorian Gray. What is this? How are you flying every plane?
Don't even ask. It just they just have it in the story where everything is cobbled together because war. No explanation, it's just war. An F-4 Phantom from Vietnam? Yes, you fly that too.
You fly everything. Well, also, you know what I think of? I think of Ace Combat as Kingdom Hearts for planes.
It kind of is. It's kind of confusing.
Because it's like there's no reason why these things are happening. Like if it, you're, you know, to understand the plot of Kingdom Hearts, you have to sit there and have like a big old map on it. So I feel like that's Ace Combat's plot sounds like. It's like, okay, we can't mention any specific countries because we don't want to offend anybody, you know. All right, so we put this into this somewhat fantasy-ish world where all planes can exist in one world and you can fly them all to shoot down other planes.
I feel like we've reached Ouroboros point because the thing I'm about to say is I'm sure the idea that spawned Assassin's Creed, but like you guys know you can do time travel stuff, right?
Hmm.
Like you don't have to ham-fist a through line. You could just invent one where like you're reenacting or participating in history, and that through line can be as wild and absurd as you want it to be.
So
that's the 10 monkeys in a nutshell.
The thing about Assassin's Creed is they didn't need the whole going into a virtual device bullshit. You literally could have just made a game about that takes place in the time of whatever.
Yeah, it could have just been a car life. Yeah, because well, like they wanted to do Desmond. Like if you didn't have like if it were just about a group and not a guy, you wouldn't fucking need Desmond. And you could have just gone on and be like, oh, this is a story about a group or a people. Not all stories are about like a person. Sometimes they're like about an island. And all the people on that island are like a fucking family or something. So, yeah, I 100% agree with you. You don't need that weird through line. But, yeah, even in a game like this, like, you'd be like, hey, you just quantum leaping into veterans or some shit. I don't fucking know. It's a video game. Who gives a shit? You think people in Call of Duty are like, yeah, but like the through line between all of these stories? Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Couple.
I feel like at some point we're too worried about grounded reality. Jesus.
Yeah. Woodpit says, my grandpa was a Navy pilot, and I throw him the controller to land in Top Gun. Freddy, yes. That's funny.
I'm sure he loved that shit.
Yeah. Kuel says, Russia has no fifth generation fighter, 4.5 at most. Okay.
That's Russia being Russia.
Yeah.
Before the whole Ukraine thing happened, we're like, oh, they've got a really strong military.
In Russia, plane flies you.
All of our planes are from the 1980s when we were the Soviet Union. We have not upgraded any of our planes.
That's true.
Attorney, I want to correct you. In Soviet Russia, plane crash you.
There you go.
So wait, Russia doesn't have a fifth generation fighter, so what's the Su-57 then?
Uh-oh.
That's not fifth generation?
I thought they had tail end fourth generation stuff. I thought they hadn't made any new aircraft in 25 years.
Look this up. Because I could have sworn that
I honestly don't know. I don't know what I didn't know. I didn't realize planes had generations. You know,
we got half a second. The big drone attack that just took out like a dozen of them. Those were, I think, they're up to date.
Well, no, I'm not talking about drones. I'm not talking about drones.
No. Ukrainian drones destroyed a huge fleet of their most modern planes, and those planes were not modern. They were, I think, by definition, antiques.
Oh, I have no idea about that, but.
Let me look up. Yeah, that's definitely
beyond
the scope of this podcast.
We are the military history throw.
No, I'm throwdown.
Hey.
I'm out of my own.
Yeah. All right. Black Metal Gamers, another leftover question. This one's kind of interesting. I'm just going to kind of read it as is. I probably could have condensed this more, but whatever. Let's talk about lore note slop. I've never heard that term before. What game just made you say enough and rage quit after reading the scattered excessive notes that you know were probably just giving somebody a job for no reason and putting it in a bunch of tedious fluff work? You said enough of this bullshit. I'm not reading all this garbage. It's not worth it. Tell your stories better. Is there a game that made you feel this way? No, because you just don't read them if you don't feel like it. That's simple as that. Don't fucking read them if you don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff is really optional stuff. You know, all that those lore things. You could just go through and be like, hey, look, what do I got to kill for next? Oh, that thing? All right, kill it.
Yeah, like I have read all the lore in a Mass Effect and Dragon Age, but again, optional, you know? You don't have to read that stuff, bro. So I never got to that point because if something got tedious, I just stopped doing it. It's simple as that. You know, what about the rest of you guys?
Well, a lot of games like that, you have to read the files to get the trophy. So oh, yeah, I'm encouraged to do that. But with lore, I like that because, I mean, like I mentioned Dark Souls, like you have to look at every item and read what the item is from or what is who is attached to, and you start to put together things. So I like that stuff. I have no problem. Like, look, Resident Evil has not changed when it comes to... They still tell a story, but everything else in between, you pick up a file, you're like, oh, let me read about this guy, you know? And they haven't changed that type of storytelling. So it is a part of storytelling. I don't know... I mean, would you prefer just all cutscenes?
No, I think he's more asking, like, is better? It sounds like he just reads everything no matter what, you know? But I'm like, you don't have to do that, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to do that. Like, honestly, I just do it for completion sometimes, but I don't pay attention to every single file. It doesn't matter. In the long term of the things, unless there's like a puzzle involved, it's like, oh, there's a safe combination in here. Okay, I need that. Other than that, you don't need to pay attention.
I'd actually advise against it. Like, here's the thing I've learned, especially as they put more and more just fluff and window dressing in games. And this is coming from like somebody who plays Bethesda games, like the old ones where you actually read all the shit. It's if you try and absorb all of it, you're just going to get burnt out. It's the same with side missions. Just if you feel engaged to do it or read it, do it. If you don't, then don't. Honestly, you're going to start enjoying video games a lot more if you prefer that. I've had that moment myself. I've known several people that have had that moment when you kind of just let go and you're like, I don't have to do everything. This isn't a job. It actually becomes way more fun and more organic.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, as it is, first question is like, has anybody ever got like, oh, I got to read all this stuff? Yeah, that's kind of weird, you know? Maybe a black metal gamer thing. Who knows?
Yeah, no, I did once upon a time. Like, it's basically FOMO. You're like, oh, I'm going to miss out on something. Here's the thing. If you're not really interested naturally, then the thing you're missing out on isn't something you're going to care about. It's the same reason, like, man, I used to be a bit of a completionist, like, even days before my podcast, like, ever since I've been on here, you guys have mostly known me for the guy that's like, yeah, fuck that, I'm not doing that. You're not paying me.
This is true.
But once upon a time, like, I cleared out. I was a completionist, and then I just got sick of chasing random fucking hidden medallions on, like, the backside of some fucking chimney on some corner of an obscure level, like... At a certain point, I want to say it was probably during the PS2, PS3 era, where they're just like, find all hidden 12 magical fucking flutes. And I was like, fuck this noise. I am not doing this shit anymore. So I was about a lot happier for it. I've watched several people go through that. I'm not doing all of your inane bullshit busy work. And honestly, it's better that way. To the point where 100% honestly isn't worth it in a lot of games these days.
That's how I felt with the foxes in Ghost of Tsushima. I'm like, yo, this is getting ridiculous. I still did it though. But it was ridiculous.
Thing, but like all the things you guys are describing are still gameplay, right? Like this is different. It's like just, I'm going to stop the game to read for 3 hours. Like why would you? I'm Mr. Completionist. Even I never did that shit to myself, you know?
Do you think,
this is more? I'm going to push back on the idea that pressing forward on a thumbstick and jumping on a roof is more content than even poorly written narrative. Like, I never they're said different, sure.
But I never said content.
I know. It's not gameplay, but people don't always play games for gameplay. Some games, like turn-based, there's very little gameplay. It's almost exclusively information gathering and reading.
Yeah, you're right. The text games, I guess, that it literally all you have to do. So you're right about that. That is the gameplay. But like in the games I'm thinking about, like Dragon Age, that's not part of the gameplay. You don't have to read all that stuff, you know?
I mean, do you consider it, is it gameplay in Baldur's Gate?
I haven't played enough Baldur's Gate to answer that question properly.
Is it gameplay in any CRPG or turn-based anything?
No, but you could mostly skip that stuff too, at least in my experience, you know?
Yeah.
Like at least, you could mostly skip that stuff. Even in our JRPGs with all that fucking text, you could mostly skip all that shit. If you don't want to read it all. You know?
I mean, I realize this is semantics, but I would argue that any turn-based anything is strictly reading. You're not playing anything. You're reading and selecting. There's no actual direct interaction. in all the Baldur's
Gate. You press the button and stuff happens, right?
Yeah, like
If you read and you finish reading, nothing happens. It's just you're done reading, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like that's kind of the point. Like, the whole point when you're doing that is to have a story told to you. And like, yeah, it's sure. Maybe you don't want to have it read to you. Maybe you want to play it. But I feel like at a certain point, like you're splitting hairs. But I agree. Like,
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, though. It's like, again, I'm not questioning the reading aspect. My question is, I'm questioning if you don't like what you're reading, why are you doing it? You know, because if like what you're reading, keep going. You know, that's part of the fun, right? For you. Again, I read all the fucking lore and all the Mass Effect games, right? I enjoyed it. But if it's shit, then I'm going to stop. Like with a lot of JRPGs, bro, I start reading like, yeah, I'm good. You know?
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of that stuff, though, is especially a lot of that stuff, like, it's all real optional stuff. Like, if you... You know, like, in other words, you can go deeper into a Souls game. You can go deeper into Mass Effect, but they let you be the person that dictates that stuff, right?
Well, except for, and I think this is where we run into the problem sometimes, we have these expectations that are like, I have to do all of this. So you're not being dictated or led by your interest or curiosity. You're being led by FOMO. And I think that's where the problem happens. Like, if you're just like, hey, if I naturally engage, I'm engaged. If I don't engage with the story, I don't care, right? Like, if I'm like, hey, they you know, caught this guy doing witchcraft and then skinned him alive, and then he started coming back and eating babies. Like, okay, maybe I'm interested. And then if they're like, hey, there's a little girl that was orphaned by a sick puppy. I'm like, I don't really care about that. That sounds sad and terrible. I don't really choose to engage. Like, honestly, just that's a breath of fresh air when you hit that point in gaming and realize that you don't have to do every fucking side quest, some shit. You're just like, yeah, I don't care about that. And you just move on. It's pretty great, actually.
Yeah. All right. The last question of the night, people. By the way, there actually was another question from Tall Geezy about, like, you know, is Nintendo now the lesser of all evils? But we answered that last week, so we're good on that end. But anyway, George W. Cush, you know, last question here. Someone on the panel once said that they would be at peace if gaming stopped tomorrow because they had other hobbies. What is the main hobby that you would replace gaming with? So this is a little bit of an AMA too, but it's still gaming related. So we'll go around the room, you know? And Manny, you're the first guy I see.
Oh, shit. Oh, I mean, drawing is not only my livelihood, but it's also my hobby. So it'd probably be stuff like that, you know, just doing my own things. I also collect, collect things. So maybe it would be that too. I know that's Tony said that if gaming just stopped tomorrow that he could fine. I'd be totally fine with it just not being there, you know, because again, I have interest in so many other things. It's okay that it was just something that just occupied some time. Like, you know, we also all have grown up in an era where these things didn't exist. You realize, like, we grew up, at least a lot of us in the panel grew up with gaming. At least console gaming is about as old as all of us are here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember what the context was when we originally brought it up. But yeah, here's the thing. I haven't played a video game in like almost 2 months. And what I do with my time, I've been reading a lot of classic comic books, physical. I'm trying to see how much I could digital detox, right? So I'm like, I don't need to be staring at a screen. So I've gone back to physical books after reading all digital for over 10 years. And now the next thing, this is not about a hobby, but now the thing I'm doing now is I don't have my earbuds on anymore. Go to work and just experience life. Be with your own thoughts, you know? That reading, and that could be novels as well. I enjoy that. And then working on my own fiction. I've been doing that too. So game, again, I haven't touched a game in 2 months, and I don't miss it. I'm good, you know? Next up, you're next, Carlos. So go ahead, bro.
I was about to say, you've been working on your own reality and your own fiction.
You know?
For me, it's a lot of things. I mean... There's working out. There's watching sports. There's reading manga. There's watching anime, watching movies, TV shows, traveling, you know, cooking, you know, making different dishes and stuff that you've never done before. That can also be kind of fun. I know Brian, he loves baking. So, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, people, you know, take time to do different things like that. That can be pretty fun. So, yeah, I mean, for me, I think this might have been a response to something that I said, because I think I always say if gaming stops, it doesn't really change anything for me.
Yeah.
Gaming is something that I love, but it's not something that I rely upon, if that makes sense.
Yep, that makes sense. By the way, since you named a bunch of hobbies, I got another one, too, I need to get back into. Building them Gundams, son. You know? I got three kits here that I haven't opened yet, you know? And shout out to Reggie, because he sent me two of those as a present, you know, which is really dope. Brett, you're up next, man. If you were no longer gaming, what would be your other hobbies?
I'm dealing with hypotheticals.
Oh, excuse me? See, this motherfucker's a real gamer. No gaming, no deal. I like it, you know?
Oh, bro, I got game over tattooed on my knuckles. Like, you ain't gonna run me out of my own fucking hobby. I've been here since I was three. I've been here since before I could fucking read. I was born on this land. I'm gonna die on this land. You're gonna pry this industry out of my cold, dead hands. I will burn this industry to the ground and rise playing new games from the fucking ashes before you get me out of this bitch.
I was born in it.
I was gonna say the same thing. Fred was born in it. You really adopted it. Oh man!
Like, I have survived a gaming crash. I am older than you, Sony. I will be here when you're gone, and I will dance on your grave.
Now, Carlos, you had to do the whole thing now, bro. You know.
You really adopted gaming. I was born into it. Molded by it.
I was born in it. Molded by it. I did not see the light until I turned on my controller.
Oh, love it. Oh, man. All right. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I'm supposed to follow that up.
You should have left that motherfucker for last.
No, I mean, as a bunch of hobbies I would pick back up. I'm glad you mentioned reading comics, because I would love to sit. I have a backlog of comics. I would draw more, write a bunch of stuff I've wanted to read, and you know, there's a bunch of stuff I could do if gaming was gone. I like Brett's answer. I would love to be like, no, I'm planting my flag. I'm gonna run like Mel Gibson in The Patriot. Okay. I can take back gaming, but you know, I don't know what's gonna happen. You know,
I mean, there's already enough games here that we can do that. Like, that's the thing. No matter what, somebody's going to accommodate our taste.
Yeah, I mean,
there's always a backlog. Like, we have enough food to last us the rest of our lives. Fuck those guys.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, I'm like, as Manny always makes fun of me, I'm like Burgess Meredith in that episode of Twilight Zone. I could stack up my old cartridges. Yeah. It's like, I have my games for January and February and the next.
There was time now.
Enough at last.
There was time now.
There's enough.
Okay, I was gonna say, and Chris also has multiple pairs of glasses, so that shit won't happen to him.
There was time now, I had a caveat, glasses, and there still is.
Yeah, right. I just feel like, oh yeah, well, too bad for those.
What's the caveat, Carlos?
There's only plenty of games for us, not for the newer generations. Oh, because shit. When games end for the newer generations, they are fucked, because those games are not theirs.
Yeah, that's right. They're gone. You know, that's crazy. And
what games you been talking about, sir?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Games? You didn't have any games. Yeah, right. Rich, what's your answer, man? What hobby would you pick up?
Well, first and foremost, this was a phenomenal question that was asked. Although I will say, I very much agree 1,000% with what Brett said. I don't personally believe that gaming will end. Maybe it will end in the future. I probably will not be here when that happens. But what I will say is, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of games to play, even if it did end. I do agree with what Carlos said. I do like the idea of traveling. But if I have to say, if there's one thing in particular that I would do, Obviously, it would go back to me getting into creating more video content, because by doing this stuff, what I've been doing on the channel the last year or so, I really have gotten back into what I actually went to school for, which was film, animation, and video. So trying to create content and tell a story with the video content, that's something that I would consider that to be one of my bigger passions now. And I want to do more of that. So if I wasn't playing too many games and I just was able to spend a whole bunch of time creating a library of things I want to talk about, I would 1,000% do that. No doubt about it.
You know what's interesting, Rich? I was just about to say, your answer should have been content creation. And you there already you said it. By the way, fun fact for you guys who listen to us. Yeah. Fun fact for you guys who listen to us and our comic book guys. Batman Year One was drawn by David Mazzucchelli, and he was a teacher for both Rich and Manny, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Funny story about David. Yeah. Go ahead, Manny.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, funny story about David Mazzucchelli. Manny introduced me to him at Comic-Con one year, but I didn't know who he was. I just thought he was just a regular dude. And we hit it off, you know? We were cracking jokes and shit, kind of dirty jokes too, you know? And then after he leaves, you know, Manny's like, oh, yeah, that was cool, right? You met David Mazzucchelli. Like, that was David Mazzucchelli? You know, I was like, I would have behaved way differently if I knew who he was. So I'm kind of glad I didn't know who he was, because I would have been like, you know, we're not worthy. Yeah. You know, yeah. To me, I was like, he's just some cool dude that Manny knows.
No, David is genuinely a very personable, cool person to talk to. I didn't do that on purpose, but in general, when I think of like people in general, it's like when you know what somebody does, it sort of dictates what conversation that you sort of have with them. I feel like the real way to know, get to know a person is to whatever thing you know aside and get to know them as a person and then get to know whatever the hell they did.
Yeah. And for you guys, and asking, that's how it, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, for you guys asking, oh, how did you not know him? You got to understand, I come from a time where you didn't know what the fucking creators looked like. I didn't know what Chris Claremont looked like until I met him at Comic-Con. I had no fucking idea what these guys looked like. You know, nowadays is the internet. Everybody's on the internet. But with the old guys, you didn't know what any of those dudes looked like.
Well, they rarely put photos of them next to the artwork. I mean, you may have known who Jack Kirby looks like, but, you know, or you definitely knew what Stan Lee would look like.
Because he was everywhere.
All over the place. But, like, yeah, and like back in those days, you didn't know who any of these guys were, like what they looked like. Like, you know, like does John Romita Jr. look all boxy like the way his characters are drawn? You don't know.
Hold on. Yeah, I got call shenanigans here just a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Most artists I've known, myself included, if you're like, hey, can we get a picture of you? My response could be like, can I just like draw you a picture instead? Like, why are you focusing on the physical meat when I draw pictures? Like, why would you want a picture of the thing that draws pictures? That doesn't make sense.
I never thought about that. That's a good one. You know that, by the way, Brett, I'm a weird guy. Like, I've met so many like artists and celebrities, but there's no documentation because I don't even think to take a picture. I'm like, I met them, I'm happy. I don't even care about autographs. Yeah. Like, why? Like, I met them.
Nah, I mean,
the memory's right here.
Except for Kojima.
Yeah, you know, that was a mission right there. You know, I did meet. Yes, I have met Frank Miller. He was looking when I met him, boy.
He looks rough. Yeah.
Yeah. There was another story.
You met Joe Mad for the Battle Chasers game.
I met him twice because of that. That was gaming related, you know?
Yeah, we all met him.
Yeah, we both met him. That's right. Yeah, that was gaming related, though. There was something else that was relevant to it, but now I forgot. Frank Miller at Cooper Union tomorrow. Who's going? Is he going to be alive to do that? Frank Miller's looking a little rough.
Oh my God.
You know?
I mean, he's really twisted looking. As long as he's continuing to, you know, be out there.
Yeah. All right. But that's enough of the comic down. Let's start. Yeah.
We haven't even done the anime show.
Yeah,
there we go.
We're triple threats.
Yeah.
We're literally hitting a bunch of the bases that we used to do on the show. We used to cover everything besides gaming.
Yeah.
as well as gaming.
Yeah, but we're not doing that. We'll save
it. Yeah,
we're not. Anyway, Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Yeah, so currently working on a couple of different things. There is something that I did attend that I really can't really get into any details about yet, but we'll be talking about that in the future. But prior to that, yeah, there's just a couple of different games I will be covering on the channel as well as the website, thecoalition.com. So stay tuned for that. Also, I'll give a quick shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, friend of the show. This is the hardest working guy when it comes to covering all these TV shows. So make sure you check out the TV Terminal. And the last thing I will mention is myself, Adam, and Carlos, we will be covering The Walking Dead, Dead City. I believe that returns July 23rd. So stay tuned. We got a lot of things coming for all of you guys.
All right. Good stuff. And Manny, what's going on in your world?
As per usual, dinner date, Carter Randolph, Joanne Starr, and myself on Color. That's going to be out in October. Then we have September. There's a cover by Kari Randolph and myself. That's for TMNT, Tales of TMNT number one. That's going to be coming out in September. And then also, you know, keep an eye for Comic-Con. There might be things that will be announced there, so stay tuned for that. I think that's coming this week, right? Comic-Con is this week.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. You know, so take a break from all the Avengers Doomsday bullshit and, you know, Spider-Man, you know, Far From Home, not in Queens or whatever the fuck the hell name of that movie is called. You know, and look a little bit to the corner and see where, you know, see what else is going on.
Yeah, I remember the story I wanted to tell now. So sorry if I'm dragging this out, but I could do that. It is gaming related, yeah. Though. I met and interviewed Dave Gibbons, artist of Watchmen, because he was doing the concept art for some game called like Under a Steel Sky. And like, you know, we kind of did the interview part pretty quick. And then we just hung out for an hour. He just wanted to chill. I'm like, okay. And he was a really cool dude, you know? It's always like, because sometimes, you know, artists, people are like very introverted. They don't want to talk, which I get, you know? He could tell he just wanted to keep talking and be like, all right, let's go. We hit it off. Good guy, you know?
Dave's also a very good guy. Like, if you ever meet him, like, if you, you know, like, you know, he's a very personable sort of guy.
Bring in more coffee. We're talking. I'm like, okay, fuck. I have nothing else to do. Let's do this. Not like when we went McFarlane at E3, you remember? We had an appointment. He's just talking our ear off. Oh. You know?
Yeah.
Like, Todd, we love you, but I don't want to hear about the Destiny statue. I got to go.
Todd, a very personable guy. He will talk to you. Doesn't matter who you are. He will talk your ear off.
It's crazy. So. See, that's still gaming related. No, because I just want to tell him, hey, Todd, I love you, man. I love your art. The Destiny things look cool. I thought he was just like, oh, thank you, blah, 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 and then move on. No, my man.
No.
I'm going to tell you that.
No, he's genuinely excited for what he's doing. He's going to tell you, like, oh, you know, we did some new stuff here, you know. So there you go.
Yeah, that was the first year where EA broke off, did their own thing. You know? Anyway, gaming history. All right, guys, we shall return on Thursday. Later.
Laters.
Later.
Deuces.